It's good that we can be back together again today by God's grace. Aren't you thankful for His sustaining grace that's given you another day of life? We're perched now on the beginning edge of the weekend, and I hope you have good anticipation for what will take place over the next 2 days. I'm praying that involves worship of God with the people of God in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, teaching, and more importantly, Bible-living church. Do the people there practice what is preached? I hope God is not the only time you hear the Word of God taught, but rather that your spiritual leader in your church teaches this Bible as well. That is to be the primary part of our worship services. And so get up and get out, if you're physically able, to church this weekend. Use the scriptures to discern a good church from a bad one, and pick the biblical church and be part of what God is doing there. Okay, let's get back to our description of this apostle, one of the 12 of the Lord's, the man Judas Iscariot. And when we left off last time, I had given you 3 insights into his life. I'll repeat those briefly now and then move on to insight number 4. First, I told you which Judas this is and where he was from. Second, I told you that it was after Jesus prayed to God that Jesus then chose Judas Iscariot to be one of the 12 apostles. And third, Judas himself chose to be the betrayer. The Bible is firm. Judas did not have to betray the Christ, but he intentionally within himself chose to. Judas made his wretched choices. That's what we covered in detail yesterday, and let's come now to insight number 4. Judas was a greedy thief. Judas Iscariot was a greedy thief. Of course, I have to back that up from the Bible, and I can do that at John chapter 12 and verse 6. We read this very recently. John 12 verse 6 says this about Judas. Now, Judas said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because Judas was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. He stole from the money box. He took in secret that which was given for the Lord's ministry with his disciples. And in the text we are dealing with at present, in Matthew 26, Judas sells out Jesus to the chief priests for 30 pieces of silver. That's Matthew 26:15. Judas Iscariot made the conscious choice to rob God. But Judas Iscariot was more than a thief. And this brings me to my 5th insight into his character. Number 5, Judas Iscariot allowed himself to be under the strong influence of Satan. Yes, the devil himself drove Judas. And how do we know that? We know this because Jesus says so. Listen again to the Gospel of John, this time in chapter 6 and verse 70. Jesus answered them, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" And then further along in John chapter 13 and verse 27, Jesus celebrates the Passover meal with his disciples and identifies Judas as his betrayer. Just then Judas eats, and the Bible says, Satan then entered Judas. You can read that for yourself in John 13 and verse 27. Now, you might want to ask a very good and perfectly logical question. How is it possible for one of the apostles of Christ to be so influenced by Satan such that Jesus calls him the devil? The answer is that while Judas walked in proximity to Christ, he never belonged to Christ, heart and soul. He never was a true believer, because as in the words of F.W. Krumaker, Judas had an unbroken will. All of the other apostles were true believers, and their authentic discipleship manifests itself in how they stayed faithful to Jesus until the end of their lives, even as Jesus was ascended into heaven in Acts 1. But as you know, if you've read the Gospels, each one of the others of the 12 all had their wills broken by Jesus. And once the Lord humbled them, tamed them, broke them, and they received and learned their lessons well, Jesus taught them how to be who all true disciples are, faithful to Christ, faithful until the end. But Judas Iscariot was unfaithful. Judas resisted Christ. He rejected Christ. And the result was very serious. Listen to what Jesus Christ says about Judas. First, he calls him son of perdition over in John 17, verse 12. And perdition means eternal damnation, utter destruction, and hell. In Jesus' view, Judas is a son of hell, and he will spend eternity forever there. Second, Jesus says, "Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." As we know, the Son of Man is Jesus, and Jesus is referring to none other than Judas Iscariot. The one who betrayed the Lord, it would have been better for Judas if his mom had never even given birth to him. Wow, these are scorching words from the Christ. But they are right there, as clear as day in the Bible at Matthew 26 and verse 24. In Matthew 26, 24, Jesus says of Judas, "Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And you can get all of these biblical references, as well as a repeat of each insight I'm giving you into Judas Iscariot, on the God Is Facebook page. If you have Facebook, go to God Is, W-E-Z-E. That's God Is, W-E-Z-E, and I have put his bio, including scripture references, there for you to see. Or you can email or write to me today for it. That's God Is, W-E-Z-E, on Facebook, or write to me for these. And my addresses will be given at the end of this broadcast and podcast. So please do stay tuned for those and be prepared to write them down. We are still on insight number 5, that Judas Iscariot allowed himself to be under the strong influence of Satan. True Christians are not under the influence of Satan, in the sense that, yes, we sin, but we are possessed by Christ, not the devil. Here it is critical that I remind you of Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Romans 8, 1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Therefore, as I trust you know, it is impossible for Jesus to send any genuine, authentic follower or disciple of his to hell. Since we are not under condemnation, then we will not be sent to hell at the forthcoming judgment made by Jesus Christ. But Judas, you see, was not, I repeat, not a genuine, authentic follower, a disciple of Christ's. He was an imposter, a fake, insincere. He was in it for the money and other considerations that I am coming to on Monday. There is an outstanding book about the suffering and humiliation of Christ I've already quoted from briefly today that I want to tell you more about now and then quote more extensively from. The title is The Suffering Savior, and it's written by F.W. Krumaker. F.W. Krumaker was an outstanding preacher in Europe in the 1800s. I mean a really great preacher. And he is also the author of several books. He's got one on Elijah that is very good, and then this one I have here in front of me on Jesus Christ. I keep it very near me on my desk. The title again is The Suffering Savior, and it's a serious and readable series of devotional meditations on the end of Christ's human life. It is perfect reading for this time of year as we approach the season when we remember Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Banner of Truth is the publisher, and it's a hardback gem of a book that you ought to get and read. The Suffering Savior. I'll also put details about this on God Is, W-E-Z-E, on Facebook, or write to me and ask how you can get a copy. Just send me an email today, or drop a note in the mail. Listen again to Krumaker's writing on Judas. "Among the disciples, we still find Judas, the child of darkness, the son of perdition. He indeed was never, in his own eyes, a helpless sinner. He had never thirsted after God. He was never truly devout, nor had he ever set his affections on things above." All right, I'm going to put down this fifth insight into the character of Judas now and move on to give you one more before the weekend begins. Sixth, Judas tragically dies by committing suicide. Judas ended his own life. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 5 says, Judas went away and hanged himself. You could read that for yourself in Matthew 27 at verse 5. I wanted you to have these six insights on your radar before we move into the details of Matthew chapter 26 and follow along Judas as he betrays the Lord on the final week of Christ's earthly life. I trust, by God's grace, that this has been helpful to you. It's a profile on Judas Iscariot that all Bible students need, and you'll want it as you come along with me into Matthew 26 and the days still ahead. And on Monday, I'm going to give you a little more background on why Judas, from the human perspective, pursued Jesus in the first place. So please be back for that. But now you have a full picture of who he was in these six insights given yesterday and today. As we come to a close, I think a little application of his life to ours is due. I pulled this right out of my Life Application Study Bible, which is one of the Bibles I use in preparing God Is, and also for myself personally. Be open to what this has to say to you. Quote, Judas does us a favor if he makes us think a second time about our own commitment to God. Are we true disciples and followers, or uncommitted pretenders? We can choose despair and death, or we can choose repentance, forgiveness, hope, and eternal life. Judas' betrayal sent Jesus to the cross to guarantee that second choice, our only chance. Will we accept Jesus' free gift, or, like Judas, betray him? End quote. That's a very good challenge to you and to me. Do not be quick to cast too strong a judgment on Judas until you first consider how much you might be like him. Are you a true disciple of Christ or an uncommitted pretender? Answer that honestly as you think about what we've discussed, and then be right back here on Monday for God Is.